You see, we need a president who doesn't see black or white. We see a president who sees Americans as one American family. We need
Trump.
And that's why I came to the very warm state of New Hampshire to endorse the next president of these United States, President Donald Trump.
I need a Tim Scott, a Senator Tim Scott, like wake up alarm on in my bedroom so that when I wake up, Tim Scott pumps me up to get ready for the day. Wouldn't that be great? Don't you love to hear the enthusiasm and the joy that Tim Scott exudes regardless of the attacks that are thrown at him and the judgments that are made about him? Well, the reason why I play that clip is because we're wondering who the vice president pick is going to be. And there's a suggestion out there that maybe Donald Trump is going to reveal that potentially tomorrow with the debate. He said that the VP pick will be at the debate. He said he knows who the pick is, but he hasn't told anyone else. I cannot wait to hear what Dory Murdoch thinks about this very important part of the Republican ticket. Nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor, Dory Murdoch, back with us today. Welcome back, Dory. Good to have you.
Hi, Annie. Great to talk to you.
You as well. What do you think about the vice presidential appointment that Donald Trump needs to make? I have a feeling you've got some thoughts on this.
Believe it or not, I do. I think looking at all the folks who are on this very talented and skillful and deep bench, I think the candidate would be best for him as a running mate, as a governing mate, is Senator Tim Scott, who you just mentioned. He has a lot to offer as somebody who is has experience in the U.S. House, experience in the U.S. Senate. I think he'd be very helpful in terms of using those contacts and experiences to get the America First agenda through the second Trump administration, should they be elected. I also think he will solidify and amplify the movement of blacks and Hispanics and other minorities to supporting Trump and the GOP. That's running about 20%. I think having a black man on the ticket will solidify that 20% and probably add to it. I wouldn't be surprised if 25, 30, even 35% of the black population, black electorate, ends up supporting Trump Scott 2024 if he's on the ticket. And in fact, there's a very interesting poll that came out from Harvard Harris. They interviewed 1,600 voters and determined that Tim Scott is the only potential running mate of the seven about which they asked who would make people more likely to support Trump. Basically ask him, are you more likely or less likely to support Trump if so-and-so is on the ticket? And for Tim Scott, it was a net result of positive 6. So he increases the likelihood of voting for Trump by 6%, which is a big number. Vivek Ramaswamy and Marco Rubio, 0, flat, no response, no net effect. Tulsi Gabbard, -1. Doug Burgum, about which we've heard plenty, he's -6, not a very positive number at all. Well, also at best, if you add him on, North Dakota is a big whopping 3 electoral votes. So it doesn't really help as far as electoral college, not much, you know.
Yeah.
267 down, 3 down, 267 to go. Kristi Noem, canine killer Kristi Noem, -7. And I was very surprised by the response to Elise Stefanik, the congresswoman from upstate New York, who's about late 30s, early 40s, young suburban mom, et cetera. Her result in this poll is -11. So Trump would drop 11 points if Elise Stefanik were on the ticket, to my surprise. Another thing that bodes well for Scott is how he has outperformed other Republicans when he's been on statewide ballots in South Carolina. In 2014, Lindsey Graham ran for re-election, as did Nikki Haley for governor. Lindsey Graham got 54.3% of the vote, about 56 for Nikki Haley. Tim Scott got 61.
Wow.
In 2016, Tim Scott and Donald J. Trump were on the ballot simultaneously. Trump got about 55, Tim Scott about 61. And in 2022, just a couple years ago, Henry McMaster ran for, re-election for governor. He got 58% of the vote. Tim Scott got almost 63%. So he's able to take whatever the GOP vote is for these otherwise white, or in the case of Nikki Haley, Indian-American background, and then do another 3, 4, 5% on top of that. And if he can do that in the polls nationwide on November 5 and take whatever Trump's support is and add another 3, 4, 5%, I think that would lead to a very comfortable, if not fully landslide, victory for the Trump-Scott 2024 ticket.
Well, I am completely unsurprised that you have put this amount of work and effort into bringing the receipts to advocate for mm-hmm. Tim Scott. I mean, those numbers do speak for themselves. You made a comment there while you were going through these numbers about the percentage of the black vote that you were thinking that maybe Tim Scott would be able to help Donald Trump get. I want you to listen to this comment. This is just not even 2 weeks ago. A Biden campaign co-chair, his name's Mitch Landrieu, made this comment about the Trump ticket's ability to secure a black vote.
Well, first of all, it's going to be a very close election. Every one of them is. Secondly, there's no universe in which Donald Trump is going to get 21% of the black vote. That's never going to happen.
So there you have the Biden campaign saying there's literally not a universe where the Democrats and the Biden campaign feel that more than 4 out of 5 black people will even consider voting for Republicans. To me, what I hear is they feel like they've got that 80% locked in. Why would they ever work to earn the black vote if they think that black folks are just decided, well, I'm black, so I'm a Democrat? They've said it themselves.
Yeah, well, this is the Democrats' attitude. And basically what they do every 4 years, they show up and they tell black people, oh, my God, got to vote Democrat if the Republicans come in, the Klan's coming back, slavery is returning, you know, Jim Crow 2.0, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, black folks show up, you know, 85-90% vote for the Democrats. And Democrats, you know, on election night say, okay, thanks very much, see you in 4 years. And they turn their backs and walk away. And the crime continues in black neighborhoods. The black schools continue to perform very often and tragically below average. Same with things like economic development. And they just take black folks for granted. I think in this election, you're seeing a lot of black people saying, you know what, we don't need to be taken for granted, especially when you have Donald J. Trump showing up in Harlem, in the South Bronx, in Detroit. I believe he's in Philadelphia. He was in Philadelphia over the weekend. I think he's going to do some sort of an economic summit at a barbershop in Atlanta today. And this effort on the part of a Republican nominee to go out into black neighborhoods, I think a lot of people are very pleased to be asked politely, would you please support me? And, you know, there will be a lot of black Democrats say no way. But, you know, if 20-25% of the black vote says, yes, thank you for asking, we will support you. The Democrats are pretty much done. They just can't have that big a chunk of their base disappear and still stay standing. And by the way, in 2020, 19%, 1 out of 5 black men supported Trump. So the idea of 21% is not out of the question. If he just maintains the 20% of the black male vote he got, or maybe that goes up a little bit, and picks up some more of the black female vote, he gets himself up in the high teens or in the 20s. And if that happens, it's pretty much lights out for the Democrat Party.
You know, I think here we're, of course, in St. Louis, and we have a diverse population. We have a high population of African-Americans that live here on the Missouri side of the river, on the Illinois side of the river. So it's a diverse area. But it is also a segregated area in that it's always been the case here in St. Louis. And I think that that's something that we can celebrate diversity, but we also should do better about not being so segregated within our own communities. And I've had people from the Illinois side of the river and some of the more impoverished areas in this studio. They're black individuals, but they talk about how the Democrats only come around during campaign season. And they, at this point, don't even actually come around themselves. They send their surrogates. But they also point out that the Republicans never even show up. And it's such a frustration for me as a conservative myself to know that the Democrats aren't serving the needs of these communities. They're making promises that they don't pay off on. They just show up the next cycle to make the same promise. But Republicans historically have just written it off. Are you thinking that it's going to trickle down from Donald Trump's efforts to go to these places, that maybe the Republican Party will get with it and actually contest for the votes of people who are thinking for themselves?
Well, they should. And, you know, I've said to people, I've given this, made these remarks in speeches, articles on radio for decades now. Look, the response is, well, among Republicans, well, we're never going to win the black vote, so don't even try. Your goal shouldn't be to win the black vote. You're not going to get 100% of the black vote, or 60% or 50% of the black vote. But again, if you knock on 10 doors in a black neighborhood, and 8 out of 10 people tell you, you know, get off my porch now, and the other 2 out of 10 say, thank you for asking, I'll support you at the polls on Tuesday. Guess what? You win the election. So the goal shouldn't be, let's get 10 out of 10 people that support us. It should be, let's get 2 or 3 out of 10 to support us. And if you just do that, because it is such a large portion of the Democrat base. If you remove that part of the base, the entire Democrat House of Cards, I'm mixing metaphors a bit, completely collapses. And then GOP needs to understand that, and they have a very positive message to make about supporting school choice, about supporting minority entrepreneurship. President Trump has a great idea, which is not taxing tips. So if you're a black waiter or waitress or barber or Uber driver, you get your tips. You won't have to pay taxes on them. It's a magnificent idea. We had the Opportunity Zones, which were started by Tim Scott and President Trump as part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. That's roughly about 8,500 Opportunity Zones in primarily minority areas. I believe it led to something like $75 billion or so in private investment being put into these neighborhoods because of economic incentives, low taxes, low regulations, that kind of thing. And, you know, a lot of black folks happen to be in the military, and peace through strength is a good thing. If you've got a daughter or son or granddaughter, grandson in the military, and you want them to come home for Christmas and not, you know, wind up in a war overseas getting killed, peace through strength is a good way to maintain peace, as we did under President Trump. We didn't start any new wars. Four Middle East peace agreements. This is great for all of us as Americans, and especially for black folks who happen to be in the military or have relatives in the military. So I think there's a very, very positive message for the GOP to spread. And they ought to go into black neighborhoods and advertise on black radio stations, black websites, et cetera, and get this message out there. And again, the goal shouldn't be 10 out of 10. If the goal is 2 out of 10 or 3 out of 10 support us, that is pretty much a victory at the polls in November.
Yeah. You know, it's to me, I want to chastise my side of the aisle a little bit, at least the people competing to win these seats and those that are helping them to... We'll criticize the "if you don't vote for me, you ain't black" line, which is the Democrats and Joe Biden himself saying that if you're black, this is how you vote. It's kind of the same thing to say from the right side of the aisle to say, well, if they're black, they're going to vote this way anyway. Do these people the respect that they deserve and show up and make your case and let them choose. And like
Absolutely.
You said, 20% decide to come your way. That's dramatically impactful. Last question before Absolutely we let correct. You go here real quick. We're speaking with Jory Murdoch. I wanted to ask you about Jamal Bowman, because everybody in St. Louis right now is side eyeing over to Cori Bush going, please. Can we do that? Can AOC come campaign for us? What do you think about Jamal Bowman's loss yesterday?
Yeah, well, this goes to show that there, I guess, maybe the pendulum has swung so far left, it's now starting to move back towards the center a little bit with the victory of George Latimer, the Westchester County executive. You know, he's no conservative, but he's also a Democrat who's not anti-Semitic and anti-Israel and pro-Hamas as Jamal Bowman is. I also suspect that if George Latimer is elected, he's not going to do things like pull the fire alarm in the U.S. House in order to try to delay a budget vote and try to get the Senate to vote first for complicated but budgetary reasons, and then get caught and say he didn't do it, and then get caught on videotape and then plead guilty to a misdemeanor. They give him pretty light charges. But, you know, Bowman is not just a far left winger. He's out of control, anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas, very profane in public. He had that event a couple of days ago in the South Bronx, who's just dropping F-bombs like crazy, and that didn't go over very well. So it's good to see him heading towards the private sector. I'd love to see Cori Bush return to the private sector, and I hope in your primaries that the voters in your area do that and give her an opportunity to live under the laws that she's voted to pass over the last few years while she's been in Congress.
Yeah, I think I said this on Twitter, but New York showed Jamal who the F he wasn't. And then he's sending himself along the way. We'd like to send Cori Bush to keep him some company, that's for sure.
And that F does not stand for freedom.
No, it does not. And if you don't know what it says, just listen to him for a bit and he will remind you over and over and over again. My goodness.
Indeed.
Deroy Murdoch, we love you. Thank you for being here with us today.
Okay, love you too, Annie. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. Deroy Murdoch, nationally syndicated columnist and Fox News contributor and our friend here on the Annie Fry Show. When we come back, Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg going to be with us. We're going to talk about the dire situation from our southern border, the mess that we have created, the chaos that we have created, and the death that we have allowed in the United States because of Joe Biden's open border policies. He enticed them to come here. He said it. Come. And they did. And now there's blood on the hands of this president, if you ask me, and if you ask a lot of people, I think they'd agree with that. We'll ask the General Kellogg what he thinks about the situation, where it is right now, how much we're potentially looking at some sort of major terrorist event in this country before the election, after the election. What are we facing? What are we staring down? Kellogg, when we come back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We've spoken with Caroline Sunshine with the Trump campaign a little bit earlier in the 12 o'clock hour. We just got done speaking with DeRoy Murdoch, and he thinks that Tim Scott would be the smart pick for VP. We'll have to wait and see who Donald Trump decides to pick, and hopefully we find that out tomorrow. I want to shift gears a bit here, because of all of the debate conversation that's going on, everybody's interested in the salacious details about what's going to be discussed, and if Joe Biden's going to be able to make it 90 minutes, and if Donald Trump is going to remain calm, cool, and collected to bring people into the camp tomorrow. But in the meantime, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world and also on the home front that we need to remember that the commander in chief is in charge of in maintaining the American relationship with these foreign countries and also securing our own nation. And the current president of the United States sure doesn't seem to have done that. Let's get to our next guest. Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg joins us now. He's the former National Security Advisor to the Trump administration and the co-chair of the Center for American Security at America First Policy Institute. General, thank you for being back here with us today. It's an honor to have you.
Hey, Annie, thanks for having me. Good to be with you today.
Thank you. You know, one of the things that I want to ask you very broadly, because I'm just interested in where you think our attention needs to be on these 400 individuals who have found their way into our country in associationship with some sort of human trafficking or movement of people. And when the word ISIS gets thrown in there, I get at the edge of my seat. What can you tell us?
Yeah, I think we should be concerned about it. You know, I listened to what Director Wray of the FBI said recently, and also the former deputy director of the CIA, Mike Morrell, when he said, when it comes to terrorism, all the lights are flashing red. And that's primarily because of the southern border, which is totally open. So we really don't even know who's coming in or the gotaway. So I don't think you can even put a number on it. You can't put one there, you can't 200 or 300. Mm-hmm. All I do know is that the increase in the people that are on the terrorist watch list that we've at least picked up has increased tenfold in the last 2-3 years. So, you know, when they just picked up 8, you know, individuals from Tajikistan, males, that are part of ISIS-K. You know, they're in the United States. They're not here, you know, to see a Taylor Swift concert. I think they're here to do some damage. And I think that it's a major problem. It's caused by this administration having an open border. And I don't care what Secretary Mayorkas of DHS says or what President Biden says. You know, and I've reached a point, Andy, and I know it's harsh, and I know it's going to come as partisan, but they are lying to the American people, and that's wrong. Because we do have a problem with our border. Remember, they said the border was secure.
Yeah.
We don't know who's coming across. A lot of them could have terrorist ties. And then we saw that what happened in 9/11 was kind of something very similar. But I think it's worse because when you look at, to me, Annie, when you look at the United States of America, we are a very vulnerable society because we're so open.
Yeah.
When you look at our infrastructure, like our rail infrastructure, or you look at the energy sector, whatever it is, we don't have armed guards around them all the time. And we don't have an oppressive, authoritarian society that tracks these people. So it's a great question because it's a wide open game.
Mm. We're speaking with Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg right now about our national security, and it expands beyond that, of course, with the global stage. ISIS, you said ISIS-K. What would they want?
They just want to cause damage. I mean, this is a very fundamentalist Muslim terrorist group, and it's ISIS-K, stands for Khorasan. They come out of Central Asia, primarily Afghanistan, in the Pakistani region as well, and they just want to cause harm. Do they pose an existential threat? Are they going to bring the government down? No, but they're going to cause the same thing we saw with 9/11, you know, the apprehension of concerns on Americans that were vulnerable to an attack by them, and they just want to cause mayhem. I mean, they don't have a goal that says, we are going to overthrow this government. They just want to cause damage, and that's all they do. And that's what these terrorist organizations are designed to do, is create fear, trepidation in your mind. And that's what they're out to do. But there's no greater purpose that they've got than that. They just don't like, you know, bottom line, they just don't like our way of life. And if you don't believe in the fundamentalist Muslim way, then you are an enemy.
Yeah. Fundamentally, that is the belief system that they hold. You said the phrase that all of the alarms are flashing red, and you served as the national security advisor to the Trump administration. Were the alarms ever all flashing red in a time where you were serving in that capacity? Is this different?
Yeah, it's totally different. You know, here's how I've kind of explained it. Most people have gone to they've seen the arcade game and played in arcades. It's called whack-a-mole, where a mole comes up, you hit it with a racket, it goes down. And so you maintain constant pressure when threats come, and then you go after it right away. You don't dilly around. You make a decision to act, and you react to it. Well, what this administration has done across the board is they've let all the moles come up at the same time, and they're not whacking any of them. So what we used to do in the Trump administration, that if a threat surfaced, you would immediately go after it and do something about it. Example, when you had Soleimani, the Iranian Quds Force commander, when he was behind the actions on Iranian proxy forces trying to take our embassy on the 1st of July in 2020, on the 3rd, I'm sorry, 1st of January 2020, on 3 January, he was dead. So that's what I mean, you take immediate response to a problem. And they don't do that. And so we would handle that immediately if it came up. And that's what you have to do. The national security decisions are hard. None of them are easy. But if you allow them to fester and continue to gain speed, then it becomes overwhelming. And I think where we're at today with this administration, we're virtually overwhelmed by the problems we see out there today when it comes to national security, because they have not attacked them each time it shows up. They just let it fester.
Yeah,
that causes you problems.
Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg speaking with us right now. You brought up Soleimani, and I remember vividly watching Donald Trump come out and the way he spoke about his death. I think that was the one where he said he died like a dog. And when Donald Trump speaks, and he speaks in his Trumpian way, that causes some people to kind of recoil because he makes them feel uncomfortable with the bluntness or the brashness with which he speaks. But when I pivot over to the current president of the United States and commander in chief, he speaks nothing on these issues. And it seems as the only time that we ever hear anything from this administration directly from the man in charge, it's in a political reaction to something that has happened that you can't put it back in the box again. So the message is always, how do I spin this against my enemies? Is that the way you see that this administration is reacting right now? Or do you feel like there's an investment, a purpose, an intended policy for open borders and for allowing the world stage to get in such disarray the way it has since Donald Trump has been in office?
You know, I think this administration has totally, to use this term, lost the bubble. They have just not paid any attention to national security. And because of that, deterrence has failed. Nobody really respects us. And one thing with Donald Trump brought to the table, despite his rhetoric, that when it came to adversaries and allies alike, there was a lot of respect to what the Americans were willing to do. But more importantly, besides respect, our adversaries feared us because they had no idea what Donald J. Trump was going to do. That's sometimes we weren't too sure that he was going to do it. But we knew he was going to respond with force for the American people. And because of that, when you're an adversary, you basically say, you know, I don't want to play in this game. I'm going to go somewhere else. And it waved people, adversaries, off because they said, I don't want to engage this individual. It's sort of like what happened. They said, look, well, let's use Ukraine. You know, when Obama was president, the Russians, they invaded and took Crimea. During we were 4 years in office, Russians didn't do anything. President Biden comes in, and what does Russia do? They take a huge chunk of Ukraine in the Donbass region, and they started another war there. And that's an example of respect when you look in fear. And then you look at something very, very similar. When you look when we moved the American embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, we were told at the time by a lot of our people that you're looking at a third intifada, an insurrection in Israel and the Gaza region. And the president said, no, it's not going to happen. And he decided to move the embassy as it's prescribed by law, and nothing happened, zero. Yeah. And that's because they said, you know, I just don't want to play this game with the president. We'll wait for another day. And that's what they've done. They waited for another day, and they waited for Biden, and they've got him.
Last question for you, General. It's a two-parter. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, if Donald Trump wins the election, that policies will change and change fast. I'm wondering how quickly you would anticipate upon the potential of a Donald Trump victory in November. He would have to wait until obviously January to be inaugurated. How quickly the world changes with the understanding that Trump is back in the office. And the second part of that question is, are we going to experience something, a very nefarious act, before that January possibility of Donald Trump being inaugurated?
Well, the second part first. I think you have to be concerned about it. I think it could happen because people are going to realize if Trump is on the verge of winning, they don't want to extend it, and they don't want to get involved with Trump. And I think what you're going to see, if President Trump wins re-election to become the 47th president, you see change occurring immediately, 6 November. The election's 5 November, 6 November. And the reason for that is because you have a lot of authorities that you can do as a transition president. And I think then you look at allies and adversaries going, no, I don't want to go there with him. Let's not do anything. And he can make a lot of things happen. Now, you can't, you know, there's only one government in charge at the time, but he can send very, very clear messages to allies and adversaries alike. This is what's going to happen. And they'll start to calibrate that. Mm-hmm. So I think you can start making an impact immediately. And I think they'll start backing off or doing things that are different. I don't think they'll try and game the system and do something fast. So to answer your question, and it's a great question, I think you can see things happening virtually immediately with the intent for them to change policies and procedures. And he can signal that, and they'll pick up on those signals. So it can happen immediately as long as you got the people like President Trump, who does, have the willingness to make change.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing if any of these very serious issues are discussed at the debate tomorrow night. And if they're not, it makes me think it's not a very serious debate. We appreciate your time today, Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg. We're always grateful to have you on with us.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Yep, of course. Please come back again soon. He's the former national security advisor to the Trump administration and the co-chair of the Center for American Security at America First Policy Institute. On X at General Kellogg. If you would like to compliment him or thank him or react to him on Twitter, go there. All right, quick break. When we come back, YouTube live chat poll. Is Joe Biden a good man? Yes or no? Yesterday, we asked if Trump was a good man. Gave you the opportunity to weigh in on that. And it's only fair that we flip the script here and ask you the same question about the other guy who will be debating tomorrow night. We are so excited to have a packed room at Dave & Buster's. And a little tip. And I haven't said this on the air yet, but our Biden bingo card is out. It's similar to the one we played at the State of the Union. We had, I think, like 350 people playing bingo with us at the State of the Union in March. If you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and see our live broadcast today, the link to the bingo card is in the description of today's live broadcast. Subscribe to the channel while you're there, too. Let's take a quick break. We'll get some answers to that poll question. Don't go away. Brian, you're a really good shuffle dancer.
Oh, is that what they call that?
It's just amazing.
No, I just do whatever the rhythm does.
Didn't know you had it in you. You're very agile.
You should see me when I'm cold turkey and I'm dancing. I do a thing that's all ragtime. It's an all ragtime review. And it's wild, man.
I'm afraid to ask, what kind of performance is Saucy Nuggets?
Saucy Nuggets is just hip thrusting. And it's super short shorts. But cold turkey,
that's how you know it's Saucy Nuggets,
is my full-on drag review. It has been reviewed poorly, but I
but
still...
But it has been reviewed.
The review was reviewed. And it is, I would call it unsanctioned dancing, because the drag community, first of all, has not accepted me. And the bars do not hire me. They do not want me there. But if ragtime comes on...
Does your wife know about this? I'm not talking in the joke. I've stepped out of the joke.
Oh, you want to...
Does your wife know?
Does my wife know that we joke about this?
Does your wife... If I said cold turkey to Mrs. Wiggins, would she be like, oh, yeah?
No. In fact, somebody who's listening, who knows my wife, just needs to walk up to her and explain it so that I don't have to. Because if I have to, it's going to be a major eye roll, as if I'm trying
Mrs.
to get her
Wiggins,
attention.
Who do you like? Cold turkey or Saucy Nuggets?
Or Saucy Nuggets. My hope is that she says Saucy Nuggets.
I mean...
Because if she says the other one...
It's actually making me nauseous.
It should. And you know what? You know who should pay for a sponsorship for us to talk about
Nobody's
that?
Nobody's going to pay for any of this. No. McDonald's should pay for us to say that it's sponsored by Wendy's.
Wendy's has Saucy Nuggets. That's how the conversation happened.
Is that on the menu?
Yeah, it's really on the menu. I think somebody else, maybe Burger King or somebody else, has them now too.
Can you find the hose commercial, since we're living here right now?
Me?
Have any of you heard it?
No. Is it with Al?
Yes.
No, I just know that you've talked about it.
Have you heard the whole commercial?
The copper bullet hose commercial?
I just know Al Borland selling his hose.
Okay, Richard Karn.
Wait, we're going
to... He's gone.
hose commercial.
It's got to be the current one, though. Yeah. Because I think that there are multiple.
That's the copper bullet holes. Copper bullet hose commercial.
Bullet holes. That's different. We got to.
Okay,
gotta
I got
bet
it. I got it.
Are you sure?
I know I'm not, but I think it's it. If you want to pull me up, Brad.
Okay.
This is a mistake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We don't know what's happening here. Ready?
No.
I love my hose. My hose is lightweight. My hose will not kink.
Come on.
And my hose is anti-leak. It ain't those old hoses. This is my hose. The new pocket hose copper bullet. Now infused with real copper. Just turn on the water and watch your hose grow and grow to a full-size 3/4-inch hose. And when you turn off the water, away it goes, shrinking and squeezing that water out until it's practically bone dry. Our new inner tube uses 3 layers of high-strength latex on the inside. Then it's wrapped in a new polymer filament jacket, the same technology used in forest fire hoses because it's light and tough, nearly impossible to tear or snag. Mm. And the redesigned connector protector with flexible collar helps stop leaks at the spigot. But my favorite part of our new hose build, the oversized, easy-to-grip fittings. Easy on and off, even with gloves.
It's the
perfect
handle
for power washing cars about and trucks, ready to go anywhere, even your pocket. With more than 100 patents
what
worldwide.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. First of all, this is the long version.
I don't think that this is even a real product.
This is the
I think that Al Borland was bored.
This is the 2-minute version of this commercial, apparently. And why would you keep a hose for your garden
just in
your
case
pocket?
You never know when the time might strike.
They're just doing things for you to go, I got a hose in my pocket. Are you just happy to see? Like, this stuff is just for the sake of innuendo. There's no product.
White Eagle says, I actually just got the pocket hose. I really like it. It's a smart idea. All right, Mr. White Eagle Ranger.
It's the best pocket hose in the world.
Call Global Shop Director.
Trump.
It's the best pocket hose in the world.
How many pocket hoses are there?
I mean, there's got to be
2?
3-4 dozen.
Oh.
Go online now to get the pocket hose copper bullet starting from a low price on your screen. This incredibly
like
expanding hose is available in a 7.5, 15, or 30 meter length. But wait, order now and you'll also get a bonus turbo shot spray nozzle. Perfect for delicate flowers to power washing your walkway. And you'll get a 30-day money-back guarantee and a 3-year warranty.
What are we talking about?
This lady is just standing there holding this hose, kind of like on her knees, and like looking at that hose like, man, this thing is fantastic. And it's still spraying, but it's just starting to dribble. Because it's shrinking. FYI, there's a 3-year warranty on this. I don't know if they got to this, but there's a 30-day money-back guarantee and a 3-year warranty. So if your hose snags or springs a leak.
White Eagle says, I have 2. I really like them. And then he followed up with, I love Wendy's saucy nuggets. Great idea, too.
Here's what's confusing about the saucy nuggets. When I ordered those, This girl, she's like, she assumes that I know everything about saucy nuggets. And it was like,
stop saying saucy nuggets.
The very beginning of the promotion. So I drive through and I'm like, oh, I'll take some of those saucy nuggets. She goes, just so you know, we don't have any of the spicy ones. And
don't
I was like,
don't you just like okay want to take the drive through people just like out on the town and show them a good time?
Yeah.
Like, live a little.
Yeah. You know what? Things are okay. Things are not. Your
but
life
in
will
defense,
get better.
As a former drive-thru worker, in their defense, when you're working drive-thru, things are not okay. People are not nice. People are mean.
I would have so much fun working the drive-thru.
You have
for
to.
For a day.
I think it could last longer than that if I was getting $20 an hour. Pond says, they actually work very well and take up a fraction of the space, although I had never tried putting it in my pocket.
And for the record, this person that they show putting it in his pocket is not just putting it in his jeans pants pocket. He's got a big coat. You're like, we're not putting that in your coat. Why are you using it in the winter anyway? So anyway, with the saucy nuggets, this girl, she
saucy nuggets.
Yeah, she goes, we don't have any of the spicy ones. And I was like, oh, okay, so like none of the habanero or anything. She's like, well, we have buffalo. And I'm like, well, that's a spicy one, though.
So you educated
and
her.
She goes...
I wonder why she was crabby to the next person in line.
She was going back and forth because she was assuming that I understood that really it's just three or four sauces, but then they put their spicy nuggets in those sauces to make the spicy versions.
Jax has been laughing at this pocket hose commercials for a while. Thought Tim Allen may have written it. I can't handle the hose commercial. Can you play the beginning again? Can you just listen to Al Borland be so excited about my hose?
I'm Richard Karn.
Yeah.
And I love my hose.
Okay. He gets you right from the beginning.
You know what? I didn't realize the first time through on this thing, right after he says that, and he looks bright and sunny,
He's
and the yard looks
there,
amazing.
Man.
Right after that, they cut to a woman who looks disheveled. Her hair's all back in a ponytail. She's got cleaning products everywhere. She's walking, for some reason, into the house with an old-fashioned
because
hose.
Because he loves his hose. Doesn't need her anymore.
She's got one of the old unwieldy the ones that doesn't work very well. You know, it's just, it's all kinked up and old. And she walks in and she doesn't know where to put all this hose. This hose doesn't even work anymore. It's all black and white, too.
Go back to the beginning. We're going to play this one more time because the sound effects, I mean, there are so many layers to this advertisement, of which, in full disclosure, I'm getting literally nothing to talk about this. I don't even have a pocket hose yet. But listen to the little sound effects that they're playing in the background at the beginning of this advertisement.
Okay. I'm Richard Karn, and I love my hose. My hose is lightweight.
Oh, no.
There's the woman.
I think there's another one.
Oh, okay.
Hose will not kink.
Come on.
And my hose is anti-leak.
It's just multiple women
just
dealing with these old hoses. But it's all women.
Come
hate
on.
Those old hoses. This is my hose. The new pocket hose, bullet.
Yeah.
Now
copper
infused
bullet.
With real copper.
Before, it was fake copper. Now, people will break into your house and steal it if you leave it vacant.
Which leads me to the question, is Joe Biden a good man? I bet he's got a copper hose. Bullet.
I don't know. If
that's
he's
the
got,
first time that you've listened to that whole
that's
thing?
That's the first time. Yeah, I mean, that's the long version.
That's what they are in Fox. It's going to be on the commercial behind you in no time.
I've seen it play, but yes. I've never heard it.
But that's the first time you've walked through it. In my allusions to it leading up to this point in time, I'm not like out of my mind, right?
Oh, no.
No.
If you got a guy standing there going, I love this hose. It's big, it's powerful, it sprays all over the
place.
And
it's my hose.
It's mine.
Nobody had any questions. Who is asking you about your hose? Why are you always talking about your hose? Women understand.
No, these women don't understand at all.
No, they get it. They're just pretending they don't because they don't want to talk about it. But here we are on this show. My goodness. We'll be right back. Really good shuffle dancer.
Oh, is that what they call that?
It's just amazing.
No, I just do whatever the rhythm does.
Didn't know you had it in you. It's very agile.
You should see me when I'm cold turkey and I'm dancing. I do a thing that's all ragtime. It's an all ragtime review. And it's wild, man.
I'm afraid to ask, what kind of performance is Saucy Nuggets?
Saucy Nuggets is just hip thrusting. And it's super short shorts. But cold turkey,
that's how you know it's Saucy Nuggets,
is my full-on drag review. It has been reviewed poorly, but I
but
still...
But it has been reviewed.
The review was reviewed. And it is, I would call it unsanctioned dancing, because the drag community, first of all, has not accepted me, and the bars do not hire me. They do not want me there. But if ragtime comes on...
Does your wife know about this? I'm not talking in the joke. I've stepped out of the joke.
Oh, you want to...
Does your wife know?
Does my wife know that we joke about this?
Does your wife... If I said cold turkey to Mrs. Wiggins, would she be like, oh, yeah?
No. In fact, somebody who's listening, who knows my wife, just needs to walk up to her and explain it so that I don't have to. Because if I have to, it's going to be a major eye roll, as if I'm trying
Mrs.
to get her
Wiggins.
Attention.
Who do you like? Cold turkey or saucy nuggets?
Or saucy nuggets. My hope is that she says saucy nuggets.
I mean,
Because if she says the other one,
it's actually making me nauseous.
It should. It should. And you know what? You know who should pay for a sponsorship for us to talk about
Nobody's
that?
Nobody's going to pay for any of this. No. No. McDonald's should pay for us to say that it's sponsored by Wendy's.
Wendy's has saucy nuggets. That's how the conversation happened.
Is that on the menu?
Yeah, it's really on the menu. I think somebody else, maybe Burger King or somebody else has them now too.
Can you find the hose commercial since we're living here right now?
Me?
Have any of you heard it?
No. Is it with Al?
Yes.
No, I just know that you've talked about it.
Have you heard the whole commercial?
The copper bullet hose commercial?
I just know Al Borland selling his hose.
Okay, Richard Karn.
Wait, we're going to...
He's...
Hose commercial.
It's got to be the current one, though. Yeah. Because I think that there are multiple.
That's the copper bullet holes. Copper bullet hose commercial.
Bullet holes. That's different.
I got it.
Are you sure?
I know I'm not, but I think it's it. If you want to pull me up, Brad.
Okay.
This is a mistake.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We don't know what's happening here. Ready?
No.
I love my hose. My hose is lightweight. My hose will not kink.
Come on.
And my hose is anti-leak. It ain't those old hoses. This is my hose. The new pocket hose copper bullet. Now infused with real copper. Just turn on the water and watch your hose grow and grow to a full-size 3/4-inch hose. And when you turn off the water, away it goes, shrinking and squeezing that water out until it's practically bone dry. Our new inner tube uses 3 layers of high-strength latex on the inside. Then it's wrapped in a new polymer filament jacket, the same technology used in forest fire hoses because it's light and tough, nearly impossible to tear or snag. Mm. And the redesigned connector protector with flexible collar helps stop leaks at the spigot. But my favorite part of our new hose build, the oversized, easy-to-grip fittings. Easy on and off, even with gloves.
It's the
perfect
handle
for power washing cars and trucks, ready to go anywhere, even your pocket. With more than 100 patents worldwide.
Wait a minute. First of all, this is the long version.
I don't think that this is even a real product.
This is the.
I think that Al Borland was bored.
This is the 2-minute version of this commercial, apparently. And why would you keep a hose for your garden
just in
your
case.
Pocket?
You never know when the time might strike.
They're just doing things for you to go, I got a hose in my pocket. Are you just happy to see? Like, this stuff is just for the sake of innuendo. There's no product.
White Eagle says, I actually just got the pocket hose. I really like it. It's a smart idea. All right, Mr. White Eagle Ranger.
It's the best pocket hose in the world.
Call Global Shop Director.
Trump.
It's the best pocket hose in the world.
How many pocket hoses are there?
I mean, there's got to be
2?
3, 4 dozen.
Oh.
Go online now to get the pocket hose copper bullet starting from the low price on your screen.
This
incredibly
like
expanding hose is available in a 7.5, 15, or 30 meter length. But wait, order now and you'll also get a bonus turbo shot spray nozzle. Perfect for delicate flowers to power washing your walkway. And you'll get a 30-day money-back guarantee and a 3-year warranty.
What are we talking about?
This lady is just standing there holding this hose, kind of like on her knees and like looking at that hose like, man, this thing is fantastic. And it's still spraying, but it's just starting to dribble. Because it's shrinking. FYI, there's a 3-year warranty on this. I don't know if they got to this, but there's a 30-day money-back guarantee and a 3-year warranty. So if your hose snags or springs a leak.
White Eagle says, I have 2. I really like them. And then he followed up with, I love Wendy's saucy nuggets. Great idea, too.
Here's what's confusing about the saucy nuggets. When I ordered those... This girl, she's like, she assumes that I know everything about saucy nuggets. And it was like,
stop saying saucy nuggets.
The very beginning of the promotion. So I drive through and I'm like, oh, I'll take some of those saucy nuggets. She goes, just so you know, we don't have any of the spicy ones. And
don't
I was like,
don't you just like okay. want to take the drive through people just like out on the town and show them a good time?
Yeah.
Like, live a little.
Yeah. You know what? Things are okay. Things are not. Your life will
get
better.
As a former drive-thru worker, in their defense, when you're working drive-thru, things are not okay. People are not nice. People are mean.
I would have so much fun working the drive-thru.
You have to.
For a day.
I think it could last longer than that if I was getting $20 an hour. Pon says they actually work very well and take up a fraction of the space, although I had never tried putting it in my pocket.
And for the record, this person that they show putting it in his pocket is not just putting it in his jeans pants pocket. He's got a big coat. You're like, you're not putting that in your coat. Why are you using it in the winter anyway? So anyway, with the saucy nuggets, this girl,
saucy nuggets.
Yeah, she goes, we don't have any of the spicy ones. And I was like, oh, okay. So like none of the habanero or anything. She's like, well, we have buffalo. And I'm like, well, that's a spicy one though.
So you educated
and
her.
She goes,
I wonder why she was crabby to the next person in line.
She was going back and forth because she was assuming that I understood that really it's just three or four sauces, but then they put their spicy nuggets in those sauces to make the spicy versions.
Jax has been laughing at this pocket hose commercials for a while. Thought Tim Allen may have written it. I can't handle the hose commercial. Can you play the beginning again? Can you just listen to Al Borland be so excited about my hose?
I'm Richard Karn.
Yeah.
And I love my hose.
Okay. He gets you right from the beginning.
You know what? I didn't realize the first time through on this thing, right after he says that, and he looks bright and sunny, and
he's
the yard looks
there,
amazing.
Man.
Right after that, they cut to a woman who looks disheveled. Her hair's all back in a ponytail. She's got cleaning products everywhere. She's walking, for some reason, into the house with an old-fashioned
because
hose.
Because he loves his hose. Doesn't need her anymore.
She's got one of the old, unwieldy the ones that doesn't work very well. You know, it's just, it's all kinked up and old. And she walks in and she doesn't know where to put all this hose. This hose doesn't even work anymore. It's all black and white too.
Go back to the beginning. We're going to play this one more time because the sound effects, I mean, there are so many layers to this advertisement, of which, in full disclosure, I'm getting literally nothing to talk about this. I don't even have a pocket hose yet. But listen to the little sound effects that they're playing in the background at the beginning of this advertisement.
Okay. I'm Richard Karn, and I love my hose. My hose is lightweight.
Oh, no.
That was the woman.
I think there's another one.
Oh, okay.
Hose will not kink.
Come on.
And my hose is anti-leak.
It's just multiple women
just
dealing with these old hoses. But it's all women.
Come on.
Those old hoses. This is my hose. The new pocket hose, copper bullet. Now infused with real copper.
Before, it was fake copper. Now people will break into your house and steal it if you leave it vacant.
Which leads me to the question, is Joe Biden a good man? I bet he's got a copper hose. Bullet.
I don't know. If
that's
he's got,
the first time that you've listened to that whole
that's
thing?
That's the first time. Yeah, I mean, that's the long version.
That's what they are in Fox. It's going to be on the commercial behind you in no time.
I've seen it play, but yes. I've never heard it.
But that's so. It's the first time you've walked through it. In my allusions to it, leading up to this point in time, I'm not like out of my mind, right?
Oh no!
No.
If you got a guy standing there, go. I love this hose. It's big. It's powerful. It sprays all over the
place.
And
it's my hose.
It's mine.
Nobody had any questions. Who is asking you about your hose? Why are you always talking about your hose? Women understand.
No, these women don't understand at all.
No, they get it. They're just pretending they don't because they don't want to talk about it. But here we are on this show. My goodness. We'll be right back.